The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, and he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who conversed also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "For we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 3. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. O Lord, have mercy on us." We rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Promises, promises, promises. That's all I ever hear, and you never follow through on any of them. Those could be the words of a wife to a husband or vice versa. Those could be words of a parent to a child or a child to a parent. You can pick out many different scenarios and make those words fit. As we look at the gospel lesson this morning from John 14, Jesus makes several promises to us. Jesus says that because I live, you shall live also, which is our theme this morning. My fellow redeemed, living in and by the promises of God. Our first directive this morning is that Jesus tells us to keep his commandments. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. When we look at this, we must quickly conclude that we have not kept his commandments. Our love toward Jesus falls short. Likewise, our love toward our neighbor falls short. God's standards are higher than ours. We don't measure up. Which of the commandments have you kept perfectly in either thought, word, or deed? Well, you might say, well, I've never killed anyone. Is that true? The Bible says everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hatred is a lesser form of killing. Hatred often leads to killing. And yes, we can kill others with our words, because words either build up or words tear down. How we use words makes all the difference, doesn't it? Or maybe you're saying, well, I've never committed adultery. Is that really true? Jesus says, you have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And the Bible says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. In and of ourselves, we do not measure up. So we confess our sins and we drown them daily in our baptism. In the midst of that, though, Jesus says, you shall live also. Jesus' promise to us is that I will give you another helper. Jesus Christ is God's mediator and advocate for the sinner. He came to fulfill the law perfectly for all people. He came to give up his life as the once and for all payment for the sin of all people and all sinners. No one is excluded from his work. John put it this way, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Your sins are paid for and forgiven in Christ Jesus. That is what his death and resurrection have accomplished for you. And then Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. We didn't ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would give him to us. And he gives him to us again and again through his word and the sacraments. We have been brought to Jesus by and through the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings us to Jesus, brings Jesus to us, and bestows upon us the forgiveness of all of our sins. In holy absolution, the forgiveness which Jesus earned through his death and resurrection is applied to our lives. And every time our sins are absolved, we go forth in good cheer because our sins are forgiven. The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus continues, when the helper comes, who will I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. He will bear witness of me, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then John adds, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. In the Lord's Supper, when it is offered, Jesus gives us his body and blood, and we receive the forgiveness of our sins. We are assured again of the gift of eternal life. Paul said, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through our Lord Jesus Christ, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In the midst of our sins, and in being burdened down by the cares and the hurts of life, Jesus says, you shall live also. And Jesus' final promise that we touch on is that you shall behold me. The disciples certainly needed that assurance because of what would transpire in the life of Jesus in the next few hours. For Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. There was sorrow on Good Friday as Jesus was nailed to the cross and he hung there and he bled and he died. But that sorrow would be replaced by a tomb that was empty on Easter morning, and the voice of the angel who said, he is not here, he has risen. Jesus' enemies thought that they had won. His disciples experienced what they believed was defeat. But the Bible declares, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Our lives are grounded in his death and resurrection. That is what Jesus was alluding to when he said, after a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. Eternal life is our reality because Jesus is alive and he lives forever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this? So here's where the rubber hits the road. How many people do you personally know and have relationships with who are not confessing Christ Jesus as their Savior and hence are on the way to hell? You may be the only person with that connection to them who can talk to them about Jesus. You may be the one that God is tapping on the shoulder this day and saying to you, I need to invite and bring that person here to Zion Lutheran. In your various vocations and stations in life, God has reached each one of you to reach people with the message of Christ Jesus, crucified and risen. Promises, promises, promises are what God makes to us in his holy word. And Jesus says to each one of us this morning, because I live, you shall live also. In his sure and certain promises, amen, amen, it shall be so.